When you get to heaven, after you see the Lord and things, who are some of the people that you're most excited to meet? Let me tell you, real high on my list is Elijah. What a mighty prophet of God. And he's somebody that we're focusing on in this series so that we can pattern our life after him. And the beauty of this isn't just for adults. I mean, our elementary kids need this, and you can pattern your lives after Elijah all the way up to our senior most adults. What a role model for us to look at and say, I want God to do in my life what he did in Elijah's life. Wow. So 3 weeks ago, we talked about Elijah meeting the most wicked king that the northern kingdom had had, the king Ahab. And he got face to face with him and delivered to him God's word, it's not going to rain. Ahab had led them into the worship of a false god named Baal, who was the god of the rain and the seasons and the climate. And so it was really the start of a showdown they were having. And so when Elijah told him, it's not going to rain, boy, what a big deal that was. The next week we talked about, remember God hit him at the brook and he said, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to meet all your needs. I want you to learn, first of all, how to get all alone with me. I want you to learn how to hear me speak to your heart. I want you to learn how important it is for you, for us to have dialogue every day. And then I want to teach you that I'm all you need. And I will meet every need in your life, regardless. Not every want, but every need. If you will trust me, you've got to learn how to trust. And so that's where we left off last week. And what God's going to do in Elijah's life this week, boy, I would pray that we could all learn this same lesson. He's challenging Elijah this week to take his walk with the Lord to a whole nother level. And I want to challenge you today. God, I want in my life what we're studying this morning. In the back of the chairs in front of you, there's a QR code. Let me direct your attention there. If you will let this take you to our website, flintriver.church, you'll find the outline that I'm going to be using to teach this morning. You'll find all the verses we'll be studying. You can follow along that way. We'll have them on the screens as well. And you're welcome to turn to them in your own scriptures. We're in 1 Kings chapter 17. Here's what I want to do with us this morning. I want us to study 9 verses this morning, and I want us to just walk through these 9 verses just one at a time and kind of talk and teach our way through them. And then I want to bring your attention. If you walk out of here with 2 things today, it will be a huge, huge, huge success. So let's start. 1 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 8. Scripture says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, where was he? He was still at the brook, Kereth Brook. And it said, then the word of the Lord came to him. Remember we talked about last week how when our brook dries up, when we go through those hard times in our lives, whether it's a job or financial or health or marriage or kids, whatever it is, when we think our life has fallen apart, you know, when we think that it's a hopeless, helpless situation, you know what? This is where Elijah was. His brook had dried up. What am I going to do now? Where am I going to go? And we talked last week, God hadn't forgotten about Elijah. Elijah was not forgotten. He was not abandoned. God hadn't left him. And in verse 8, God knew right where he was. The word of God came to him. He knew where to find him. And he knew most of all that Elijah was listening. If God wanted to speak to you in the morning, does he know that you're listening for him? Does he know that you're expecting him to speak to him, to speak to you in the morning? Elijah did. That's what he learned at the brook. He learned how to be all alone with God, and he learned how to listen for God's voice each and every day. So God knew where he was, and he spoke to him, and this is what he said in verse 9. arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Well, there's a lot of key words and phrases in this verse, so let's do some underlining and some circling. Arise and go to Zarephath. Zarephath, man, that doesn't do a lot for you. You've probably never heard of that before. Now, Zarephath is where Ahab's wife is from. Her name is Jezebel. What a wicked lady she was. She was the power behind the throne. She was the one that really brought the worship of Baal down into the northern kingdom of Israel. And so this is where she's from. This is where Baal, the center of that worship, was. And he says, I want you to go right into the teeth of the lion. Man, I want you to walk those 100 miles. Remember, it hadn't rained in a year. He'd been at the brook for at least a year. So water is scarce. He's going to walk as close to the Jordan River as he can because that is a larger water source where he could at least get some water. But he's going to walk 100 miles. Everybody's looking for him. He's the most wanted man in the land. The king is looking for him. The king's got his army out there looking for him. The king has all the people looking for him. Because if somebody saw Elijah and didn't report that they had seen him, they would be executed. So he's got to walk 100 miles and not be noticed. Shouldn't be hard, should it? 100 miles without food? Piece of cake, right? 100 miles with limited water? You could do that, couldn't you? Yeah. You know, Derek told me, he said, I rode my bike 70 miles yesterday. Derek, what's another 30 to make it 100? Piece of cake, right? I don't think Elijah had a bicycle. Same concept, though. There's a lot going on. And look what he said. He said, I want you to dwell there. I want you to stay there. You know, there's a lot of times that God tells us to stay places that we may not want to. But I'm not happy, but I want you to stay there. I don't like this job. I want you to stay there. And has God ever told you to stay when your heart said, man, I'm getting out of here? There's got to be something bigger, better, newer, nicer. There's got to be a different version of this life than where I am. And God says to stay there. Sometimes staying there is the hardest message God can ever tell you. And he said, so Elijah's thinking, oh boy, man, I've been out here in the wilderness for a year. Man, I've been living off of the birds have been bringing me food. Could it get, you know, I mean, I know that's a miracle, but I'm just a little bit tired of bird spit on my food. Maybe he's sending me to a wealthy family. To somebody well-known and rich. And that wasn't the plan. See, I've commanded a what there? A widow. What do you know is true about every widow in Scripture? They're what? Poor. Dirt poor. Because you see, a widow can't work. You know, so they have to beg. They have to glean the edges of the fields. Remember the story of Ruth and Naomi? Yeah, this is what they were doing. And so, oh, man, I've jumped from the pot into the fire here. Now I'm going to live with a widow who's dirt poor. Oh, here's what I want you to learn. Here's the first thing. This is so huge, guys. Here's what I want you to know. Elijah had to learn how to obey God, even when it didn't make sense. Everything God's going to ask you to do, everywhere God's going to lead you, isn't going to always make sense. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. Sometimes you're going to think, God, why me? God, why here? God, why this? But Elijah had learned at the brook to obey God even when it didn't make sense. Birds bringing him food morning and evening, did that make a lot of sense? No, absolutely not. Who had ever had that before for a year? Man, I'm going to have the water from the brook to drink from in the middle of a drought. That in itself is a miracle. So God, this was a huge lesson. I wonder if you've learned this. Because you see, for most of us, when it doesn't make sense to us, what's our natural tendency? We don't do it. Because if it doesn't make sense, I probably don't want to. And I always do what I want to do because life is all about absolutely. Oh, listen, how am I going to know who this widow is? I'm just going to walk up here to this town. It's a Gentile community. I'm a Jew. I'm just going to walk up here. I'm a stranger. And how am I supposed to find this widow? You just go and I'll work it out for you. All right, look at next verse 10. So he thought about it for a while. So he asked God for another way. So he, you know, said, God, can we vote on this? No. What happened? So he what? Arose and went. God said it. That's the end of the conversation. Because I've learned to obey God no matter what. Even when it what? Didn't make sense. So he arose and went to Zarephath, 100 miles. And when he came to the gate of the city, which meant that he had not been seen, he had not been found in that 100-mile walk, how long would it have taken him? At least 5 days. 20 days was considered a day's walk, and he's at least 100 miles away. Indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. What a coincidence. Do you believe in coincidences? No. God put that widow there because he had already arranged for her to be the one to meet Elijah's needs. How do you know she was a widow? Did he just walk around saying, all the widows, raise your hand, please? No, widows had a certain way that they dressed. So her garments gave her away right off the bat. Then the first person that he saw was this widow. Indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. Think now, why was it that he left the brook and went here? Did he leave the brook because the brook had dried up? Trick question, be careful. Did he leave because the brook dried up? He left because God told him to go. See, one of the problems that we have so many times, every time we have a brook that dries up, we leave. We've got to go over here. We've got to do something different. And God says to us so many times, I want you to stay there until I tell you to go. And before he ever got to Zarephath, what had God told him? I want you to what? Dwell there. Dwell means, hey, you're going to live here for a while. And that he did. He lived with this lady for 2 years in Zarephath. All right? So he asked her, I need some water, please, ma'am. I imagine he was really thirsty because once he left and started turning west, he had gone up above the Sea of Galilee. There's still a river there, the Jordan, he's following. But then once he turns west, there's no water, there's no river. So that last, 30, 40 miles, no water. I imagine he's a little thirsty. And he asked her for a cup of water. All right, now, see, here's what you got to understand. There's some issues going on in that. First of all, he's a man, she's a woman. Oh, the culture says you don't do that. Second of all, he's a Jew, she's a Gentile. Oh, you don't do that either. But you know what? God had already told him, I've got a widow there, and I've already talked to her. She's expecting you. And he's already talked to her, I want you to provide for this man, this prophet that I'm sending you. And so there was a connection. Look at verse 11. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and says, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, this is huge. Listen, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. and see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son. Not sure how old the son is. He's a young son that we'll learn about later. But he's not a teenager or a grown son, that we may eat it and die. Oh, listen, as the Lord, let's divide that up. As the Lord, circle that. Your God, circle that. Lives, circle that. Three different pieces there that are absolutely huge. See, what we don't know is when, where, or how, but she referred to him as Jehovah. Now, a lost person wouldn't call him Jehovah, and a lost person wouldn't acknowledge that he is alive, right? Especially somebody living in this pagan culture where the worship, everybody worshiped Baal. So this is her identification. Yes, I'm a Gentile, but I'm a believer. And she said, the Lord, Jehovah, your God. She recognized, I don't know how God had spoken to her, but she recognized that he was a Jewish prophet. And maybe she probably didn't know he's a prophet unless God had told her, but she knew he was a Jew that God had asked her to protect and to provide for. So there's a lot going on here. And the situation, boy, you talk about going from bad to worse. She had an impossible situation. She's got a handful of flour, just a little bit of oil. Look at what she said. I'm going to make a little bread here. Me and my son, it's our last meal. It's all we got. We're going to eat this and then we're going to watch each other die. We're going to starve to death. Would you think that you would call that hopeless? That's pretty hopeless. Would you think that she felt helpless? Yeah. I mean, she's done all that she can do. This is the best I've got. This is all that is left. She had nothing, and the situation looked rough. Look in verse 13. And Elijah said to her, don't fear. Why do you think he started with that? Because he knew she was afraid. Wouldn't you be afraid knowing that you were about to eat your last few mouthfuls? And then you were going to hold your son, wondering if you would die before he did, or would he die in your arms? Wouldn't that strike fear in you? Yes. So his first words were encouragement. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make a small cake. I just need you make me some bread. What? First. That's huge. You make it first and bring it to me. And afterward, then you make some for you and some for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour, he referred to him as the Lord God. Why? That's how she referred to him. So he's connecting. The one that you have surrendered your life to, the one that you put your faith and your trust in, this is what he's saying to you. The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Man, there's a lot here. What did we learn first of all? What did Elijah learn at the brook? Remember, he had learned that you obey God even when what? It didn't make sense. Is what Elijah's asking this widow to do, does that make any sense? Not at all. I mean, I'm taking the food, your last bite, right out of your mouth, and I want you to give a stranger, a male stranger, and I'm not even one of your people, I'm a Jew, but I'm asking you to do this. And Almighty God has made a promise. And if you'll obey, even when it doesn't make sense, I know you trust God because you're a believer, but it's so easy for your trust and ours today to be talk, isn't it? Isn't talk pretty cheap in today's world? Huh? Hello? Isn't talk pretty cheap even in the church? Yeah. Isn't talk pretty cheap? Can we just be honest this morning? Even with us? Yeah. It's so easy to talk a good talk, but it's such a different story when you have to live the truth. Wow. He said, if you'll trust God, he'll meet your every need. How could he say that? How could Elijah say that? Because he had already learned it from God at the... Have you been to the brook? Has God taught you how to hear him speak to you? Has God taught you how important it is that every day we need to get alone with him? Has he spoken to you in your heart as you've read his word, as you spent that time in prayer? That's not what he desires just times when you come to church, but that's what he desires from you as a believer every single day. How real is that in your life? Or is that cheap talk? See, he had learned that at the brook, and because he had learned that at the brook, he had the right to challenge her to do the same thing. He's not asking her to do anything that he, what, hadn't already learned. Oh, see, you can't challenge anybody to go farther in their walk with the Lord than what? Than you are. That's why it's so important that we keep growing, that our walk keeps getting deeper, that our faith keeps going, that we learn to believe that I'm going to obey you even when it doesn't make sense. What's the name of our series? Do you think it took courage for Elijah to walk 100 miles in broad daylight, being the most wanted man on the face of that land, knowing that if he was found, he was going to be executed? Did it take courage to do that? Absolutely. Are you seeing that in this widow's life, Elijah's teaching her what he's already learned, right? It doesn't make sense. Ma'am, I know this doesn't make sense, but I need you to obey God. And it's going to take what for her to do this? How do you explain to your son that you're going to cook for a stranger, and if there's anything left, we'll make a little something for us? That doesn't make sense at all. But she was learning the lesson. Elijah was challenging her. Wow. Oh, listen, you can never. Elijah couldn't, and we can't. You can't challenge anybody to believe the improbable until you've learned that God can do the impossible. Has God ever taught you that he can do the impossible? Has he? You don't have to be an adult to learn that. You can learn that as a child, because children's brooks dry up all the time. You can be a student, you can be a young married. Listen, you understand what faith and trust is all about. And you can't ask anybody to believe the impossible, the things that don't make sense, until you've learned that God can do the impossible. Unbelievable. See, why did this lady feel so helpless? You could hear it in her voice. Well, I'm gathering sticks. I'm going to cook this and die. Where were her eyes? It's so easy when your brook dries up. It's so easy when life gets tough. It's so easy when things fall apart in your life for your eyes to naturally gravitate where? Whoop! And we suffer from ingrown eyeballs. Oh, poor me. Look where I am. Look what I'm going through. Look at my situation. And see, because she had rolled her eyes in and she was looking at the situation, it looked impossible. But Elijah had learned that when things get tough, you don't look in, you look where? you look up. He was looking up and he could see a miracle. Oh, folks, look, it gets better and better. Verse 15. So she went and got with her son and said, "Son, what do you think we ought to do?" She went and got on her cell phone and started texting her friends. "You know, this strange guy is here and he's telling me to do this. What do you think?" Yeah. She got with some neighbors and said, "Okay, let's vote on this. What do you think?" She what? She went away and three letters. She did what? She went away and she did it. She obeyed. It didn't make a bit of sense, but she obeyed. She did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. She trusted God even when it didn't make sense. Many days? Oh, yeah, a whole lot of days. How long did he live there? 2 years. Look at verse 16. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord. Oh, listen, you know what? God kept his promise. What did Elijah say that God was promising her? If she would do this, even when it didn't make sense, God's promising you that there will be bread, there will be flour and oil until God sends the rain back. And you know what? Look, the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry. Every morning when she walked in there to begin to make a little something for breakfast, there was enough flour and enough oil for the three of them. And then sometime during the day before she went back in there to fix dinner at night, they didn't eat lunch, but they ate two meals a day. When she went back in there at night, oh, you think that first day she thought, "Oh, I don't know what we're going to fix. You know, we used all of it for breakfast." She goes back in there and looks, and what's happened? There's some oil. There's some flour. Was it a whole barrel full of flour? No. How much? Just what she needed. See, that just would irritate the life out of us, wouldn't it? Because we don't want just enough. I want enough for a month. I want to know in advance that I'm taken care of. You know what? Have you ever done this? She's just as human as we are. Do you ever wonder if she thought that next day when she went in there, "Well, I know God did it yesterday, but I'm kind of doubting and I wonder if he'll do it again." See, God's shown you so many times before that he can do the impossible. Your brook has dried up before, and you've seen him do the impossible. But yet every time that we hit a dried up brook, every time when life gets tough, every time when we think, "Oh, me, I can't believe this has happened," do you tend to forget that he's brought you through every other time? Do you tend to forget that he's provided for you in the past? Do you tend to forget that he's the miracle-working God? And we sit there and we wring our hands and we wonder if he'll do what? Will he do it again? A miracle twice a day, morning and night, for 2 whole years. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I think one of the biggest things, and we kind of look over it, the flour wasn't used up and the jar of oil didn't run dry. You know what? That is a different way of saying God kept his promise. God always keeps his promises. Always, 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 always. God will never promise you anything that you have to wonder, that you have to question, or that you have to doubt. Whether you're a senior citizen, whether you're in college, wherever you are, you can trust God even when it doesn't make sense. Wow. You know what else Elijah learned. This is, you know, I told you I want you to know two things today. Here's what else I want you to learn from this morning. Elijah learned that your faith is not just what you say. You live what you believe. If you're not living it, you don't really believe it. Talk is cheap. Anybody can talk. We can talk about our faith, but how real is it in your life? We can talk about trusting God, but are you? We can talk about, oh, I've been to the brook. Yeah. Have you learned how to be alone with God? Is that something that you do every single day? Are you hearing God speak to you every day? Or is that just cheap talk that we do on Sundays at church? See, you live what you believe. Talk is just talk. Wow. You live what you believe. See, anybody can talk. Anybody can come to church. See, a lot of people think that the way that I communicate my faith is that I come to church. Really? Are you saying that everybody that's going to walk in this church today is a believer? That there might not be people in this room today, right now, that aren't believers? Have you branded everybody that walks in a church as loving God? That's not the case. That's not the case. I dare say there's not everybody in here this morning right now that are believers. Coming to church doesn't demonstrate your faith. Anybody can come to church. Well, I'm a good person. Well, that's good. That's real good. But I know a lot of people that aren't believers. They're some of the best people you'll ever meet. Yeah, but I'm a great parent. Oh, that's how that works. Really? I know of some of the best people in the world that love their kids maybe even more than we do. Kids and grandkids, more involved in their lives. That doesn't mean you're a believer. You live what you believe. Your trust ought to be obvious in your life. How does somebody know that you trust God? How does somebody know that your faith is all about the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. How real and how deep is your faith? Seriously. What have you learned from the brook? What have you learned from Elijah? Have you learned how to be all alone with God? Have you learned how to listen for God, to expect Him to speak to you on a daily basis? Or is being a believer and coming to church just a box that you check on the weekends? Have you learned how to listen for God? Or is it just talk? When's the last time God spoke to you? What did He ask you to do? You know, we're looking at Elijah's life and we're talking about patterning our life after his. I want my spiritual life to be as deep as Elijah's. I want to walk with the Lord like Elijah's, but I want God to use me in other people's lives to make a spiritual difference like Elijah did. For 2 years, do you think Elijah, as he was investing his life in this widow and her son, do you not think they had some phenomenal conversations, some phenomenal prayer times because they were believers? And do you think Elijah stayed inside the house for 2 years? You don't think he walked all through that village and went to the market and walked around and met people? Do you not think that he shared his faith with other people in that village? Oh, see, you live what you believe. You don't just live like you want to, which is how so many people have dumbed down the Christian life. See, we just don't expect much out of the Christian life. We've learned that we've got to start with our time alone with God. We've got to learn how to be alone with God. We've got to learn how to listen to God. And we've got to learn when God speaks to us that we've got to obey it, even when it doesn't make sense. Let me teach you a new phrase. When God speaks to you, when you're all alone with Him, every day, hopefully, you're all alone with Him, and He impresses on you something from His Word. He speaks, we call speaks to your heart. You know, it's like He makes that verse just jump off the page. It's almost like somebody's tapping, like, this one is for you. Wow, read this again. Wow, this is what I want you to do. When God speaks to you, either from His Word or through times of prayer, all right, then you are at a point that writers call the crisis of belief. God's spoken to you. You've heard what He's asked you to do, whether it was something He wanted you to start, whether it was something that He said, this doesn't please me. I want you to cut this out. You need to get rid of this. Maybe it's someplace to go, something to do, whatever the case may be. When He speaks to you as a believer, you are now at a point that's known the crisis of belief. Because now the pressure's all on you. God's spoken. So what are you going to do about it? Am I going to act like I didn't hear it because it wasn't something that really appealed to me? Do I begin to rationalize, well, God, I'm not really sure I want to do that. Well, God, I'm just so busy. I mean, you know the job I've got. You know, I'm so involved in my kids' lives. We're traveling all the time. God, it's this. God, it's this. God, it's this. You know, we begin to rationalize, or do you know how to say, God, here's my yes. Whether it makes sense or not, I'm going to obey you. When's the last time God spoke to you? What was it that He asked you? What did you do about it? Oh, hey, let me just end with this. You know, the Christian life is made up of so many things that don't make sense. You ever notice that? You start reading through scriptures, you do your devotions, doesn't take long, and you come to some verses where it teaches you as a believer to forgive the people that hurt you. Come on now, be real. Does that make sense to you? Right? Mark told us last week how many times somebody has to hit you, right? And we, one time, that's all it takes, one time, and it's toast, right? Somebody hurts you, somebody wrongs you. You feel like you've been done wrong. And when Scripture says you need to forgive them, that doesn't make sense to us in our flesh. What makes sense to us in our flesh, and I'll let Mark finish this lesson, right? We need to beat their brains out, right? Yeah. Forgive them? That doesn't make sense. You don't have to read too far and you begin to find out that God doesn't want us as believers just to sit around and be a spectator, but He wants us to be involved. He wants to use us in other people's lives. Isn't that what we're studying? He wants us to make a spiritual difference, not just a difference, a spiritual difference in other people's lives. He wants us to invest like Elijah did in this widow's life and her son's life. But you know what? See, I'm too busy. I'm not interested. I'm not going to do that. Lord, that's not me. Oh, I get it. See, our flesh only wants to do and only wants to obey what makes sense to me. You don't read very far. We could do this for hours. You don't read very far and it says, you know what? Remember where it said, He said, I want you to do this for God first and then make something for yourselves out of the leftovers? You ever realize that's the opposite of the way most believers live? We use what He's given us on us first And then maybe we give God a little bit of the leftovers. God, 10%? Are you kidding me? God, have you noticed we're in a recession? God, have you gone to the gas pump? Well, I don't guess you have, God. I mean, you don't drive a car. But God, do you know what groceries have gone up? And you're wanting me as a believer to give to you first? God, that doesn't make... Yeah. Isn't it amazing that we live like we want to live? We live by the way things make sense to us. But if we could learn to obey God regardless, even when it doesn't make sense, and if we could learn that we're not a spectator, that we have to invest, we have to be used in other people's lives in order to please God, we'll never be a spiritual giant until we learn those two lessons. Wow. You know what? God was raising the bar of his expectations in Elijah's life today, and he's raised the bar in your life as well. If you're a believer, how's your obedience? Is it just when you want to? Is it just when things make sense? Do you only give God your time or your priorities or your effort or your money or whatever the case may be? When you've got something left over, does he get the best you've got? Right? Does he get it first? And then we live off of the leftovers. What is it God wants to teach you today? Hey, some of you, this morning, you've come and your brook has dried up. And things have hit bottom. And you're facing a tough time. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how we're going to make it through this. But God, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. See, it's easy to trust when everything's going good. When you've got plenty of money, you just got a promotion at work, man, your marriage is happy, all lovey-dovey, your kids are doing great in school. But when hard times hit, when your brook starts drying up, you've gotten downsized at work and you've lost your job. You or your loved one heard a doctor say, I got some bad news. We're dealing with cancer. Wow. When your marriage isn't going good, maybe the spouse said, you know what? I'm done. Your kids have made some poor choices, bad decisions, and now you're in a definite pickle. Show me your faith in the hard times. It's easy to have faith when things are good. And some of you this morning have walked in here and it's not a good time. Can I tell you this? If first of all, you will take your eyes off of your situation and focus them back on Almighty God who loves you more than anything. He knows where you are. He hasn't forgotten about you. He wants to use your situation in some way to make you more like his son, if you'll let him. You know, there's some of you here today. Remember, I alluded to it a while ago. I don't think everybody in this room is a believer. Just because you're here this morning, and there's no shame in not being a believer. You've just had good reasons, and I don't know what they are, and they're your reasons, not mine. But for all these years, you didn't think it was important to give your life to Christ. But can I tell you something? He loves you so much, and he wants more than anything for you to give him your life today. He wants you to know him as your Savior and your Lord. He left heaven just for you. He came to this earth and lived a perfect, sinless life just for you. He went to the cross to pay your sin penalty. If you'll let him, all you've got to do is say, Jesus, oh, I'm a sinner, and I'm so sorry. God, I give you my life. Would you come and live inside of me? Would you forgive me of my sins? God, would you save me right now? Father, we love you today. God, how we have we've heard a message from all different angles this morning. God, I pray for those that have never given their lives to you, that today would be the day. They wouldn't wait any longer. They wouldn't put it off. They wouldn't make excuses. They wouldn't wait till later. But Lord, that they would say right now, I trust you. Thank you, Jesus. Would you be my Savior? Would you save me? Would you come and live inside my heart? Father, I pray for the people whose lives have fallen apart, whose brooks have dried up. God, I pray that you would deepen their faith and their trust, their walk with you, that they can take their eyes off of themselves, off of their situation. You can fasten it back on you, and you can make their faith real in their life. Oh, Father, most of all, I pray that believers all through this auditorium can learn how to listen to you each and every day. God, I pray there wouldn't be a day that goes by that you don't speak to our hearts as we've learned to be alone with you. Father, make these things real in our life. In Jesus' name, everybody saying, amen. Let's stand together, can we?